There was a, how many know who Elvis Presley is? Anybody ever heard of Elvis? You know, I've heard that he's died, but there's rumors to the opposite. You know, that he's been seen, especially here in town. I don't know why. But anyway, back when, he sang a song. And the name of that song was, Who Am I? Have you ever heard of the song, Who Am I? Yeah, one or two hands went up. Well, here are the words to that song. When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace on Mount Calvary, then I, to take my place, then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that the king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I? Good song, Elvis, wherever you are. As we read the gospel reading in the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can't help but just get really deep into the mystery of the Passion. What happened? Everybody looks at that and says, this is what happened to Jesus. But I guarantee you one thing, the disciples were caught off guard. It said they forsook him and fled. They got scared and took off. The soldiers came to the garden to arrest Jesus. They got violent for a minute, and Jesus said, no, put away the sword. Allow this. And it said, and they all forsook him and fled. It says that in Matthew. They took off. They were scared. They didn't want to face the painful truth that what he had been telling them was going to happen was happening. And it was happening before their very eyes, and it was happening before they knew it, before they could realize it. There are some wonderful phrases in this gospel reading today that kind of get passed over. One of the things that happened in the garden that Jesus said to the disciples as he was praying in the garden, before he went off and prayed, he says this to them, and he says this to us, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Well, is it wrong to be tempted? No. It's wrong to enter in. To give in. Pray, he said, that you not enter into temptation. And then he went off and prayed, and he came back and he found them fast asleep. And he woke them up and he said, pray, rise and pray. Get up, pray, lest you enter into temptation again. Why? Why? Why the disciples? They've been following him around for 3 years plus. The temptation to what? To deny that they even knew him? Well, one of them did that, huh? To betray him? Yeah, one of them did that. To forsake him and run away so you don't get hurt? They did that, huh? The temptation to give up and go back into boats and go fishing for fish? Yeah. To hide out in an upper room or wherever for fear of getting arrested? To betray the Lord with a kiss? To allow the power of darkness to win in their lives? To triumph over them? To move in violence and anger instead of in love, to allow fear to rule their thoughts and actions. Pray that you don't enter into temptation, he said, because these things could overcome you real soon. And they said, Lord, should we strike with a sword? Should we defend ourselves in you? And he said, allow this. Permit even this, he said. Let it go. Let it happen. But the disciples were ready to fight. This was the Messiah. This was the King. We've been doing this, Lord, for 3 years, and now you want us to allow them to take you away? But Jesus knew what was about to happen, didn't he? In fact, he had just been praying to the Father that if it be possible that this cup would pass from him. And Jesus said, but not my will, thine be done. Not my will, yours, God, be done. Let it be, disciples. Don't take up the sword in violence and in anger. Let it be. This has to happen. Permit it. Allow it, he said. And then when the soldiers came to arrest him along with some of the leaders of the temple, he said to them these words. He said, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. Listen now, he said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is the time, Jesus said to them. I doubt that they understood what he was saying. This is your hour and the power of darkness. You see, something we don't remember is that there was a spirit, if you will, dictating the actions and motives of the religious leaders of that day. The spirit was evil. This is the hour of darkness, said Jesus. The time has come. The intention of that spirit was death. Death of the Son of God, this Messiah, the Son of God. If he can be taken down, then the power of darkness wins. The same pride that was there at the beginning kept this enemy focused on the destruction of the Son of Man. Destroy all that is good, says the enemy. Destroy all that is alive. Destroy everything that comes from God. And I'll use the religious leaders to do it along with the authorities. But Jesus knew, didn't he? He knew about the power of darkness. He even identified it. The time of darkness has come. This is your hour. And then he was brought before Pontius Pilate and the rulers of the temple. And he said, if you're the Christ, tell us. If you're him, let us know. Tell us right now. We'll believe you. Uh-huh. And he said to this, he said, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. I've been telling you. It's been 3 years. I've risen. Lazarus was raised from the dead. I called him forth from the tomb. I've healed the sick. I've done all these things. You didn't believe it. If I tell you now, will you believe? No, you're not going to believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Jesus said that to the Sanhedrin council. If I ask you to let me go, you're not going to let me go. If I tell you I'm the Son of God, you're not going to believe me. Hereafter, he said, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they said to him again, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, rightly you say that I am. Rightly you say. He put their words right back on them. I'm the Son of God. Rightly you say it. The very thing that should have convinced them that they were dealing with God himself did quite the opposite, didn't it? Why? Because the hour of darkness had come. They wanted to know if he indeed was the Son of God. And when he told them that it was true, instead of falling down to worship him and saying, you're the Messiah, instead of doing that, they condemned him to death. They condemned him to death. Go figure. Hadn't they seen his miracles? Hadn't they heard his powerful teaching and prophetic words? Hadn't they been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, or the little girl that was raised? Why were they asking the question? Why were they even wondering if he was the Son of God? The man born blind said this to them. They said, since the beginning of time, nobody has opened the eyes of someone born blind. But this one did. Why were they asking? Why did they bring Jesus before them and say, are you the Son of God? Are you the one? They didn't want to hear the truth. They couldn't handle the truth. The power of darkness had blinded their eyes and clouded their minds. They were bent on destruction. And so they laid the cross on Simon, and Jesus began his journey, the Via Dolorosa. We have it around the church, starting back there all the way around, the journey of the cross, all the way to the tomb. And part of the way through that journey, he stopped and said this to the women who were weeping and crying. They said, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that have never bore and breasts that were which never nursed. And they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Now listen to this. This is what he said. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? If they do these things when the wood is green, what will they do when it's dry? That was a song by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Did you know that? They sang that. If this is what they do when the wood is green, what are they going to do when it's dry? What wonderful words. If they do these things when God is among them, when the miracles are evident, If they do these things when healings come forth and the prophetic words of the Messiah are there, if they do these things when he walks on water and turns water into wine, what are they going to do when it's all gone? If they do these things when they are so close to him, what happens when he's gone? What indeed? What indeed? For the world cannot see it, says the kingdom of God. The world cannot enter that kingdom unless they repent and believe. The world does not receive him naturally. But it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right and the power and the ability to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. But they didn't receive him, did they? They rejected him at every turn. And now, in spite of it all, in spite of the fact that these religious men, these men, leaders of the temple of the day, these Jewish leaders wanted him to die, in spite of the hatred it takes to the human heart to condemn a man to death and then to see to it that it happens, to see it through. In spite of the rejection, the betrayal, the frenzy of the people who chanted, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Kill him! Put him to death!" In spite of all of that, as he was there on the cross, he uttered these words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." You see, the hour of darkness had come on the earth. Jesus said, "This is your hour. The hour of darkness has come. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." People who seem religious are killing the Son of God, and they don't even know it. They think they're doing God a favor. They think they're preserving and cleansing their religion. These weren't bad men. These weren't men that woke up this morning and said, "How can we kill the Son of God?" They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They believed that he was stirring up a furor among the people to go against them and against their religious beliefs. Someone said that he couldn't understand one time. I was talking to somebody. He said, "I can't understand why these men of God decided to crucify the Son of Glory. There's no logical reason to kill him. I mean, couldn't they have just put him in prison in solitary confinement with no visitors? Just put him away. Don't let the people at him. Why not that? Why not banish him to put him on a boat and banish him to an island somewhere with food and beverages and let him be on his own so he can't get back because there are no boats? Oh, but then he walked on water, didn't he?" You see, to the powers of darkness, there's no need for logic. They're just bent on destruction. There's only lies and hatred and murder and death of anything good. Destruction of whatever is from God. And it goes on. I have news for you today. It goes on. The destruction of every good thing, of families, of marriage, of music, of prose and of poetry and of art and society and literature and education and church and religion and whatever else the enemy can get his hands on. Whatever else he's allowed to touch, he'll touch. And the power of darkness continues to work. So rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And finally, Jesus said these words. As he was there on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So remember those words, because they're from the Psalms, and you can say them. When all the world is lost and everything is done, when there's no more hope for salvation from your life or your dilemma or your loss, when you've reached the end and know beyond doubt that you are lost and dying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And if you have a relationship with God, then you can rightfully stand before him and say those words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This old earth can have this old body, but it may not have my soul. And it may not have my spirit, because into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. What safer place is there than that? What safer place is there than in the hands of God? In fact, We may say that at any time. We may say at any time, Father, my life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. And I want you to do this today as you come up for the Holy Eucharist to receive the body and blood of Christ. I want you to say, when you've received his body and blood, I want you to say the words, Father, my life is in your hands. For you've taken the body and blood of Christ into your hands. Place your life into his hands. And when we confess our sins today as a church, corporately together, remember one other phrase that Jesus said. One other phrase that he said while he was there on the cross. He said this to someone who recognized the horror of his sinful life. He said this to someone who was truly repentant and not just saying good words for hopes of impressing him. He said this to a sinner like you and I. He said this to the man who hung on the cross next to him. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There you are. Assuredly, Jesus says to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, you say, but I'm not hanging on the cross next to him dying. Well, I have news for you. I'm sorry. You're all dying. It may take a while. But you're all going. You don't want to hear that, I know. None of us do. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's just a matter of time. And there you are on that cross called death, and you're breathing your last, and you know death is imminent, and you are scared and painfully aware of your sinfulness. You ask simply that Jesus would forgive you and receive you, and he says to you those words. And put the comma in a different place. He said it to the thief on the cross. He said, I tell you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. But he says it to you like this. I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. He says that to you today, now. You will be with me in paradise when that time comes. Follow the Eucharistic prayers today as we go into the second part of the service. The confession, the absolution, the peace, and the offering, and the doxology. And we say the words, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. And we say the words that the people chanted as he came into Jerusalem riding on a colt, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? We say them every Sunday, don't we? And you in your mercy, we say these words, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, and to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. We say those words every Sunday. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself. He offered himself in obedience to God's will, a perfect sacrifice for you, for the whole world. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. In the church, every Sunday is a celebration of the Passion of Christ. That's why we say the words over and over again every week. Every Sunday is a celebration of the Passion of Christ. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. This is the last week of Lent, the holiest week of the year for all of us. Recall his death this week. You see, sin must be a terrible thing, otherwise Christ wouldn't have had to die for it. Examine your hearts. Because sin and rebellion against God is what kept the people away from him. So go and tell the truth. Go and tell the truth to the world. Go and show them and say, listen, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy will you be when you're called to his supper. And you say on those words, similar words to what the man said on the cross, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Listen now, this is the word. This is the word of healing. These are the words of freedom. These are the words of liberty. Only say the word, and I shall be healed, Here's the words. I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen.